In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I always like when we go through Paul's letters, the epistles, and they're the little touches that remind you that he is not so much writing a theological treatise for his doctorate of ministry, but rather he's writing a letter. The little touches like, oh, and by the way, bring my cloak when you come next week. Or, I shall be visiting soon, make sure that spare room is fixed up. You know, the nice one with the view. Okay, he didn't say that bit, but he talked about getting a room ready. Or today, when he's going along, and as far as we know, Paul probably wrote his letters by talking and having a scribe, a professional writer, actually write them down. Today, we take for granted that you can grab pen and paper and write something down, or more likely, grab your phone and tap something out. But back then, writing was a specialized skill. Now, while we know Paul can write, he makes a point every now and then of saying, see, I wrote this with my own hand. What big letters I use. What big ears you have. We know he can write, but he uses a scribe because writing back then was an event. You had to write on vellum, you know, sheepskin, or parchment, and maybe a wax tablet, but it was a chore to write. And they didn't dare waste any space. If you look at ancient documents, it's just letter, 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 letter. No spaces, no punctuation, no margins. Every square inch of the surface is covered in letters. And they're all capital letters, by the way. And so it's just, they shout all the time, apparently. No, just because capital letters were easier to make. And so they would write. And so Paul is talking, and his scribe is writing, keeping up as best he can. And he talks about, I am so glad that I didn't baptize any of you. Okay, well, I baptized Crispus and Gaius. But the rest, and I did baptize the household of Stephanas. I love that in here, that you can see him thinking through, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Because it's not like he can go back and white it out. It's not easy to erase when you're writing on vellum and such. So he has to correct himself. But it's also interesting to note, the reading here is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And I know you haven't spent a lot of time memorizing 1 Corinthians, although it'd be worthwhile, perhaps. But this is very early in the letter. Last week, we read the first bit of 1 Corinthians. And if you recall, it was very much, you guys are wonderful. You're saints of the church, and I thank God for you and all this stuff. And then, boom, but you got divisions, folks. Now, Chloe sent me word through her people. Y'all know Chloe. She talks. Chloe sent me word that there are divisions. And some of you are saying like, I'm baptized by Paul, or I'm baptized by Apollos, or I belong to Cephas. Cephas is Peter, by the way, in case you don't know Aramaic. So when you see Cephas, think Peter, same guy. Or I belong to Christ. There are these divisions in the church in Corinth based upon how they came into the church. And what Paul says is, none of that matters. I didn't even come to baptize you so much, which is a weird thought given my background. I grew up in a denomination that focuses on baptism. They call themselves Baptist. But Peter's here saying the baptism wasn't the most important thing he had to do. The most important thing he had to do was talk about Jesus Christ, to talk about the cross, to talk about what God had done in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ. Who baptized who was immaterial compared to that. Because Christ hadn't been divided. Peter wasn't crucified for you. It's all about Jesus. So forget all the little petty differences you think you have amongst yourselves and focus on what's really important. That in Jesus Christ, God broke into the world. That all those promises that for hundreds of years God was making through the prophets, through Isaiah and through the other guys in the Old Testament, were coming to fruition, were coming to life. We're being, in the words of our hymn this morning, made manifest in Jesus Christ. That God had broken into the world in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. That God had changed the world. And good news, guys, you're here for it. You're part of it. You've been brought into the family of God. And it doesn't really matter if you were Jewish or you were Gentile, you're here now. And all the promises that God made to the children of Israel, to the Hebrews through the ages, now get spread out to the whole world. When God said, I'll make you a light among the nations, that all nations will come to me through you, it's happening. The thing we've been waiting for hundreds of years, is happening. No wonder Paul calls himself zealous for the Lord. He has something to have a lot of zeal about. The culmination of centuries of waiting. The coming to life of promises made by God. And so compared to that, who cares who baptized you? That's his point. And yet, people worried about that. We learn later on in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, they also have an issue with social structure, that the people who are rich get better seats in the church. And sometimes they tell people who come to the meal, you know what, you sit over there so nobody can see you, so we don't have to worry about you. Paul really lays into the Corinthians. They were doing some not good things, but they were also doing good things, like every church. Now, I haven't seen us being too discriminating about who has how much money or gives what pledge and all that kind of stuff, and let's keep it that way. Y'all are doing good. But he's writing to this letter that's full of real people who make real mistakes. And so we can identify with them. I don't think we argue too much about who baptized us. I do hear people talking about so-and-so confirmed me and take a little bit of pride if it was the real Bishop Gray as opposed to some other Bishop Gray. Well, that's okay. I understand that. But it doesn't change your confirmation. It doesn't change your status in the kingdom of God. Our status in the kingdom of God is a result of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with us. Our status in the kingdom of God is because of our relationship to Jesus Christ and nothing else. And that's what Paul tells them. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus has done the heavy lifting. Jesus has done the work. Jesus has made it possible for you to be in the kingdom of God. Everybody else, they're workers, they're helpers, they're assistants. They're trying to assist God in doing the work that God is doing. And it doesn't make you better or worse because of which one of those particular helpers poured water over your head. We all have a place, a job, a duty in the kingdom, in the family of God. We're trying with Jacob and Evie to teach them there are certain chores you need to do. 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, it takes time. Take your plate to the kitchen after you eat. Pick up your toys afterward. There are certain things you do to make life nicer at home. We all have our roles. Eric and I provide the food and the shelter and the love and all that. Different people do different things. And here's your role. Here's your part in the family. Here's how you fit in. With the idea being that that's what's going to help them understand that they're part of a family. That they're integrated into us through bonds of love and the courts and the fact that we all work together and do our part to make things better for the family. Now expand that. To millennia, to millions of people, over time, to the church, that we're all part of the family. We all have the roles that we can play. We all have gifts that we bring, that we offer up to God, that He may use us to further the kingdom, to grow the family. To strengthen those bonds of love and care and affection and tradition and worship together that unite us. And the reminder that anything that we might perceive as making us distinct or different from each other really doesn't matter in the light of Jesus Christ. That when Jesus Christ walked by those guys on the seashore, all he had to do was say, come. And immediately they leave those lives behind. Leave the boats, leave the nets, leave their father, because Christ said, come. Fortunately, we usually don't have to make that kind of decision in our lives to follow Christ. We don't have to give up everything that identifies us as who we are. God allows us to integrate that into the family of God. But that's the least we can do, is identify the family of God, to see in each other that we're brothers and sisters, children of the same wonderful, glorious parent, that God is our Father and we are each other's brother and sister, and we're all part of the family. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.